This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by The Good Book Company, publisher of Life in the Wild, a book by Dan DeWitt on how to live with hope in a fallen, messed up world. More information at thegoodbook.com. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with J.D. Greer, Brian Chappell, and Mike McKinley on preaching through difficult parts of the Bible.
All right, so Mike and Brian, as a pastor, if you're committed to teaching through the Bible, inevitably you come to some of these sections that you just are not excited about preaching. So how do you preach a book of the Bible that you, if I could say it this way, don't like or don't naturally gravitate toward?
Okay, let's press him. Are you really going to say that there's portions of the Bible you don't like? Are you starting there?
Okay, let's call that a poorly phrased question. But how would you approach sections of scripture you're not excited? I mean, sometimes you got a book of the Bible, you're just like, man, I got all these things I want to say out of it. So,
oh, you really switched that one.
Yeah, that's right. That was good.
Well, I mean, there are portions of the Bible, I think, at different stages of life. You say, I remember a time in my life where I was preaching through Daniel, and I'm starting to get to the second half on the prophecies, and I just go, I'm not ready. Mm. I mean, I handle it. I don't understand it yet. Mm. And for me to think I can, with some authority, you know, go forward with the people of God, I just have to say, I'm not ready. Mm. So that may be a reason to say, all right, you can't never get ready, but there may be a time that you're just not ready. You need more study or more experience or other people to help you, and that may be a reason.
So did you punt?
I did. Huh. I did punt, and I came back to it years later. And candidly, same on Revelation. I mean, there are portions of Daniel and Revelation I'm very comfortable with. Other portions, I think, man, I really got to study up on this, and I'm not sure I understand it yet. So
then the Left Behind series came out, then you were able
then to... I knew exactly what I did not want to say. But no, I mean, there can be reasons not to like it that are good, as well as simply, I don't like what the Lord is saying here. Then you have to say, well, I have to learn to love it. You know, if it's simply, I understand it, I need to figure out why would the Lord put it there. It's got to be helpful for his people. I need to discover that reason and then fall in love with what that reason is.
Yeah, I think if I don't like a text, you know, coming into a week where I'm getting ready to preach and I'm not excited, it's usually either because I don't understand it or because I don't immediately see how I'm going to preach it. And so you have that sort of, I don't know, that preacher's terror on Monday morning when you open the Bible, you read next week's text and you think, I got to talk for 45 minutes about this. I don't know what's going on here. And so I think in those cases, you have to do the work and it's having confidence that God's word will feed his people, that all the scriptures point to Christ. And that, as you said, that he has some reason for this being in there. And it's if I don't see it, that's a me problem, not a Bible problem. And there's some parts, I remember I did a series of sermons on the minor prophets, just one sermon on each one, kind of an overview. And I got to Zechariah and I realized I have no idea what Zechariah is about. I mean, there's a lady with a basket and Jesus shows up at the end and it's like, and so that was the hardest week of sermon prep I've ever done. Wow. But you just trust that God's going to use it. And people afterwards came up and said, you know, that was really helpful.
But, yeah.
I thought, which part?
Cause, right. But,
could you explain it to me?
The basketball.
But I actually think you just said what makes you learn to love it. We don't love things because we're often information based. And we say, all right, this information doesn't seem particularly helpful to me, or I don't know what to say, or it's dense in some way. If we can move from the information base of a sermon to the application goal, then I have an ability to say, well, it's not just the content that may burden me. How is there going to be application that unburdens God's people? And if I can ever see that, if I can move to the application unburdening God's people, then I have a reason to care for it more than just I have more information to dump on people.
Right. You know, I when people ask me, I'm a young pastor, but when say, what is one of the biggest lessons you've learned over the years? I look back and I'm embarrassed at how little confidence I had in the Word of God when I first, because I had, you know, I was on the road speaking and I had kind of 8 sermons. And I remember thinking when I became pastor, when I'm done with these 8 sermons at this, like, what am I going to say? Like, there's nothing else I can say.
I told them to read their Bible more, pray more, and go to church. What else is there?
What else, right? And, but, you know, it's just when you're committed to preaching through the Bible, you find that some of these chapters you don't see how you're going to get something out of. There's just so much. I mean, usually I can't remember the last time that I went into a weekend where I didn't feel like I had too much to say and was trying to cut back. you know, the Bible has one redemptive arc. It's all about Jesus. It's all about how the people of God are changing and confronting their idolatry and, you know, false gods being confronted by the one God and what that looks like. And that story runs throughout everywhere. And when you tap into that story, I've yet to find one. When I saw the suggestion for the question of how do you preach the Bible, a book of the Bible you don't like, I thought there's a lot of books of the Bible I didn't think I would like, but I've never actually had one gotten into it where I didn't think this is profound and life changing.
Yeah. I think having that confidence that God is usually pleased to use things that don't impress me. So, you know, I come in sometimes on Sunday morning and, you know, you think I got a home run in the bag right now.
Right.
You know, and you're preaching and people are like, okay. Yeah. But then, you know, you sometimes you get up and you're like, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do to your people. And, you know, I remember I preached a sermon in the middle of a series on Jeremiah and it felt like it was like the eighth week of, you know, there's going to be bodies piled up in the valley and birds are going to pluck your eyes out. And I just thought, like, I can't do this for one more Sunday. And this lady came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, the thing that you said about following Christ, she's like, I really want to do that. Can you explain more to me? And I thought, my head was, why? Like, after that? Like, what was, but the Lord, I think, just to keep his people humble and to show his glory, uses those kinds of texts and those kinds of sermons, it seems in my ministry, almost more than the ones that feel like they would be naturally, like, home run sermons, if you'll forgive me.
So, Brian, can you think of a sermon that surprised you? I mean, like that, like I'll give an example too, is, I remember I was preaching through Exodus and it was one of these series of regulations that came after the altar. And I was just like, you know what? I can't just skip it. I need to go through it. And just as I got into it, just that, you know, the messages about the gospel and holiness and life, it was one of the ones when I look back on that year as the highlight of where God met with us. And I went into that so like, this is just going to be an endurance week where we're going to do it just because we need to do it. Do you have any that you?
Sure. And we've all kind of picked on some of the same things that maybe, you know, you go to the cleanliness codes in Leviticus and you're kind of going, yeah, all right. I don't know if you've done this. Sometimes it's not just that there's a particular passage, but I think to myself, I preach, if you're in a Leviticus cleanliness code, you kind of do it over and over and over again, and you think, I've already said it. I've already done it. But somehow the Lord has people in a different place in a different week.
Yeah,
and you may be saying the same thing, but they're more ready to receive it. And that's an interesting discovery of the work of the Holy Spirit, to say not only putting the inspiration into the Word, but opening the hearts to receive it in ways that are just as unique, so that you may think you're saying the same thing, but the Lord has prepared a heart differently to receive it.
Well, one last little sidelight on this. The second best book I've ever read on preaching, the first one, Christ-Centered Preaching.
Well done, J.D.
Product placement. Yeah. That's right. Is one of John Stott's books on, I think it's called The Preacher's Portrait. And he uses an analogy in there that I found very helpful and may just be an interesting compliment in this discussion. He talks about the preacher is called a steward. And he talks about the word steward, meaning someone who is not the owner of the house, who chooses what food the kids are going to eat, but is the one who arranges the food. And so I think, you know, being committed to expository preaching does not necessarily, you know, always mean that it's, you know, I think there can be some discretion in how we get into text and how we know, like, hey, I mean, it is the word of God, but I'm going to, you know, kind of focus on this part because as a steward, the way John Stott says it is, if you go to the cabinet and there's 8 rows of green beans, you don't just go through them one at a time. You may take one here and you may pull some from down there. And so I think there's a balance with being committed to preaching through the Bible and at the same time being a pastor of your people, which is trying to lead them and not just expose the content. Yeah. Do you feel like that you can do that and be a faithful expository?
You have to. I mean, you just have to do it. And I think if you're committed to saying the nourishment is there and I'm simply a steward of that, and I may not even understand how the Lord's going to use it, then commitment to the Word and your theology of the Word takes you through those periods of I'm not sure that I'm being effective, but I'm confident the Lord will do what he intends with his word.
A little bit. Unless you're going to go verse by verse, starting at Genesis, going to Revelation, we're all doing that in different degrees of wisdom and ability. And so I think sometimes when I have problems with a text, I think, you know, I didn't really plan this out very well. So yeah, I think there's a lot of wisdom required there.
Yeah, some balance. Well, sure, there's a lot more to say on that, but that's some great wisdom. Yeah.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.